We had Lockhart join us via video. They're already out of service now, but we had them join us. We have some other folks joining us live right now on the internet. So if you're joining us out there on Facebook or our website, we welcome you into the house today. Thank you for joining us via the internet. Some of you may be listening actually to a podcast a few weeks from now. We're glad you're here. Let's give them a hand. Welcome them to our church. Yeah. I'm liking the energy that I'm feeling over in this. Or a bird. Is that a bird or is that a person? Thank you. Yeah. Hey, we've been the whole year already. It's already 6 weeks into the year. But we've been talking about this one topic, how to be made whole. How to be made whole. There's a big difference between being fixed, like a certain part of your life fixed, or being made whole. Being fixed means that a certain area or person or part of your life has been repaired. But God offers us something different than that. He doesn't want to just fix you. He wants you to be whole. Whole meaning your entire existence. The surface, what everybody sees, and then below the surface, the private part of your life that nobody sees, your soul and your spirit, he wants to be whole. Your whole body, body, soul, and spirit. He wants you to be healthy and strong, resting in who he says that you are. With Jesus, you good. Anybody from Louisiana in here? We got any Louisiana folks in here? Louisiana, Cajuns, especially down in the lower part of the state, they just talk different, right? Does Cajun talk? Albert is Cajun. Pray for them. But they often don't use verbs. Have you all noticed that? They say, she gone, he dead, you good. When you're whole, when you've been made whole, you good. Jesus makes you good. When you're good, you know that he's going to take care of you. Everything's going to work out. Let me tell you something. The service before this, pray for people at the end of the service. I prayed for two different people. They both said, this is the first time I've ever been in this church. This sermon was just for me. One lady said, I was just driving by, and I saw this church, and I came in. First time ever. She came down, was crying. This sermon was just for her. I have good news. It wasn't just for her. It was for her, but it's for you too. And this is a very, very important part of being made whole. For those of you that haven't been here, let me lay a little groundwork. You can always go to our website and get the full sermon, but I'll tell you in just 3 minutes what we've been talking about. The first is this: wholeness comes from us being who God says that we are. Wholeness comes from being, not doing. Wholeness comes from being a human, being who God says that we are. When God says something, it's a fact. God says he loves you. That means he loves you. You're loved by God. God says he welcomes you with open arms. That means you're welcomed by God. God says you're his kid. That means you're his kid. Whether you believe it or not, well, God says it, it's a fact. You're my son. You're my daughter. I love you. God says that. Matthew 11:28, Jesus said it like this: come to me, all you who are weary and carry heavy burdens, I will give you rest. Rest is wholeness. Rest is peace. That's the fullness of God. That's the rest of God. I want you to come to me. That's what Jesus is saying. Come to me. You might think that God would come to the earth in the form of Jesus to judge us, to condemn us, to beat us up for being bad. But instead, the opposite is the case. Jesus comes with open arms. I want you to be with me. I want to be with you. Take off the burden and let me take off the burden from your shoulder and take my yoke upon you. Let me teach you because I'm humble and gentle at heart, and you will find rest for your souls. So if you're here today and you're wanting change in your life, this verse is for you. If there's something in your life that you would like to change, listen to God's word today. He's welcoming you with open arms. He loves you. He wants to give you peace. He wants to give you rest, regardless of what's going on in your life, regardless of the circumstances of your life. He wants to give you rest. Ah, that would be awesome, right? Just rest and peace. If you want change, you meet the life changer. Jesus Christ is the life changer. This is what happens. This is what he says. Wholeness comes from being accepted as God's kids. Jesus says, come to me, all you who are weary and heavy laden. You're my kids. You call me Father. I'm your dad. I'm going to take care of you. I'm going to provide for you. Wholeness comes from us being accepted as God's kids. Not just accepted as people, not just accepted as friends, but being accepted as kids of God, God's children. He actually wants you. And he doesn't want you just because he has low standards. If he's a perfect God, there's nothing wrong with him. He knows all things. We are not that way. We're imperfect. So if he wants to be with us, then we might think, well, he just has low standards because we are not like him. How would he like us? Or maybe he's just going to ignore my problems. Just ignore that they're there. Or maybe he'll just excuse us for our problems. Do you know that that is not the reason why God accepts you? God does not accept you because he turns his face away from your sin, or because he just excuses your sin, or because he doesn't care about your sin. Instead, the reason you are accepted by God is because he himself paid the price for you to become acceptable, for you to be clean and be right with God. Jesus paves the way for that. He pays the price for that. That's awesome. We're accepted as his kid. He loves us, and that's a good thing, and that's what we've been talking about the last month, and I'm hoping that it's starting to dawn on some of you. I'm trying to say it in different ways. I'm trying to pray God open their eyes for them to hear it and see it, feel it. He loves you. We start to understand it. We start to get it in our head. And I'm just praying over the next few weeks as we're praying and fasting that God's just going to let that just go all the way through you so you're resting truly in that identity. Here's the thing. Once it starts doing that, we call that really discipleship and growing. We're growing. We're being discipled, and God's sanctifying us. He's making us holy and making us more like him. That's a beautiful thing, but this is what happens. The stinking devil starts doing stuff. The devil starts throwing stuff in your way, starts throwing things, people, places, and things, and verbs all being thrown at you. They're bad. They're bad things. And what happens is you're dodging them, and then one just hits you, bam, right up beside the head, and it distracts you from seeing the truth of God. And it, instead of believing and listening to what God is saying about you, you start listening to what you're saying about yourself, which is often not what God's saying. You're listening, well, I didn't do right, and I didn't do this, and I grew up the wrong way. My family's not the right family. I'm not making enough money. I didn't go to school, blah, blah, blah. You start telling yourself all that stuff and not listening to what God says about you. I love you. I forgive you. You're going to make it. I'm going to provide for you. Everything's going to be okay. But the devil keeps throwing stuff at us, bad things, difficult things, diagnosis, lose your job, all these difficult things happen, and you get distracted, and you start listening to what other people are saying about you too. Not just what you're saying about yourself, but you start living by sight and not faith. You start living by what you're seeing and not by what God's saying about you. And so you're having a difficult time with that. And then finally, there's this point when we're unable to change one of those things that gets thrown at us, and we simply find ourselves out of control. And when I say out of control, I'm not talking about like you're, you know, dealing drugs and, you know, you're in a penitentiary and things just got out of control like that. I'm talking about you're out of control. You can't fix all the problems in your life. That's what's happening. You have, you know, the variety show where they're spinning plates on whatever, there's, you know, those little pole things, sticks, you know, they're spinning plates. This is the way we live our life. We're spinning a plate, spinning a plate. We're in control. All the plates are going well. Oh, that one's starting to wobble. Oh, let me spin it a little bit more. It's spinning. Okay, everything's good. And eventually what happens is several of them start wobbling. You can't get to them fast enough. And so what happens is you're out of control. Different parts of your life that are starting to fall apart. You want to fix. You know they need to be fixed. You want to change them, but you simply don't have the ability to change them. So the economy is a great example of this. When everything's going well like it is right now and the overall economy of America, stocks took a little dip a few days ago, but they're still stronger than they've ever been. And the real estate market here in Texas is phenomenal. I mean, every month real estate values are going up. Unemployment is low. All these positive things are happening, but there's going to be a time when that resets. It just happens all the time, whether it's a terrorist attack or something goes on with the environment, a tornado, hurricane, whatever. Something's going to happen, and that bubble's going to burst, and things are going to start shifting. So what happens when that happens and we feel like we might lose our job or our 401k is going to start going down? We start trying to fix that and put time and effort into it. I'm going to disperse my investments and diversify. I'm going to get a second job. I'm going to cut expenses over here. You're doing all these wise things, important things, smart things with your money. But then you get a pay cut. They start laying people off at work. You lose your job. You cannot control that. And so you're in a situation right here where you simply cannot fix it. You're out of control. In this particular area, you know it, you're trying, you're praying, it just doesn't seem like anything's happening. Marriage, life, love, family is another good example of this. We find ourselves sometimes, we have a vision of where we're going, we have an idea of where we're headed for our family, for our marriage, for our kids, and this is the great, And so you work hard at it, you try hard, and things are going well, but then people are people, right? And a spouse, as much as you want them to be a certain way, is not turning out the way you want them to turn out, right? He married the hunk. He's now the chunk. That's what's happening. He went from chunk, hunk to chunk, right? He had the tan, the hair, yeah, everything going for him, the job, the education. He has some money, and he's got the cool watch. He's got the Trans Am, and he's rolling. Cool guy. All the girls want to date him. You caught him. You married him. Yeah. A few months down the road, a few years down the road, things are kind of falling, like, not the same. He's not listening. Or just if you're a guy, you're married to a woman, same kind of thing can happen. Things fall apart. Things are not going well. I need to spend more time. I need to try hard. All's not working. You can't fix them. You can't change them. They're out of your control. You try, you can't fix them. Maybe it's a child that you're trying to raise. You raise all your kids the same way. One of them's not turning out the way all the rest of them are. Why is this happening? Why do they not want to do this? Why? They grow up. They do different things you don't approve of. You don't like it. How could this? You cannot control them. You're out of control. So here's a question I have for you. How can you be whole and out of control at the same time? That's a really good question. How can you be whole but not in control? Erica and I were in a situation like this when our daughter was born. And if you weren't here a few weeks ago, let me give you a little brief story. We told our story a few weeks ago. And so our daughter was diagnosed at birth with a really, really severe brain abnormality. And they said she will not be normal. She will have a very difficult life. And she's not going to live very long, actually. She's only going to live a year or two. And so you just need to take her home and basically enjoy her the way she is. And that's your future, basically. She's just a really, really tough time. That was very hard for us. I remember going a few days after she was born into Erica's hospital room, because Erica was still in the hospital at this time, and because she was recovering from her C-section. And I remember going in there, and I just left the NICU, the ICU for kids, and being with our daughter, and I went to Erica's room, and I said, I feel like I'm at this place where I'm praying two prayers. The first prayer is that God would heal her completely, that she would not have any problems, like, you know, the doctors are saying that her brain would reform and it would be right and that every cell would be in place and she would learn and grow and develop and everything would be fine. I know that God could be that good, that he could heal her, that everything's going to be okay and that we're going to live happily ever after. I believe, I'm praying, that's my first prayer, that's prayer A. And then I said, but this was the tough part. I said, I feel like I'm also at the other place where if God doesn't heal her, if he chooses not to heal her, that he'll just take her home. I'm just praying though one of those two prayers, that he'll heal her completely or that he will take her home and she'll dance on streets of gold and, you know, be free in heaven and everything will be awesome. And I believe that God is good enough that could happen. She could be healed in heaven, be in heaven, and then we would be comforted, that God would comfort our hearts and that we would be fine even with a child that's passed away. And that was a huge step for me to get to that point. I mean, our daughter's only a couple of days old, and I was already to this point, like, God, I surrender this dream. If it's not the case, then I believe you can do this. And believe that you can heal us and we can have other kids and you'll be, everything will be good. But here's what I want to tell you today. That both of those prayers, there's nothing wrong with those prayers, first of all, but both of them come from me and I'm the center of those prayers. Both of those prayers deliver something that I think is possible for God, and both of those are the easier path for me, right? She's fine. There's no issues. She's not here. She's in heaven. We're comforted. These are both what I'm thinking. These are both centered around me as the one making it. That's what I imagined the two possibilities being. Hey, I need some help. I need some volunteers to come up here, and I need four people. Four people, quickly. You don't have to say anything. You just need to stand up here. And there's one. I promise you, I'm not going to embarrass you very much, okay? Okay, there's four right there. Y'all come on up. Come on up here. Come on up here. Yeah, give them a hand because y'all didn't have the courage. So y'all at least give them a hand. Come on. Yeah. Yes, yes, yes. Okay. You're going to be God. Yeah. You're going to be family and marriage. You're going to be work. You're going to be health. These are me. These are parts of me, okay? They're parts of my life. And so this is my health. I'm going to put you as the last priority down here. I'm going to put you up here next to God. And then you're just kind of in the middle right there. So this is how a lot of us live our life. Would y'all... Let's scoot that way just a little bit so I got a little more. There we go. Perfect. This is how most of us live our life. This is like the Robin train or the Robin car, the Robin truck, okay? I'm the driver of the truck, and I got God here as my co-pilot, and God's with me right up here in the front seat because I'm a Christian, right? I believe in God. I know that God's faithful. I know he's good, and so this is God's right up here with me up in the front seat. And then I have my family that's right here, my marriage, my kids are right here. I've got a vision of what that's supposed to look like. And I've got my work, my finances. Some of you are in Texas State. This could be your schooling, whatever it is. This is a big part of your life. This is your health, right? The way you, your knee ache, your scoliosis, your diabetes, your strong muscles, whatever it is, your physical body, your health, and it's in good or bad, right? Good or bad, God's always good. So we have a vision. All right, we're going somewhere. Y'all ready? Oh yeah. Come on, we're going this way. So turn. All right, we're going. This is where we're headed. I'm in the driver's seat. I'm going. I got a vision for my life. I got plans. I got them written out. I got goals. I'm very motivated. And so I want my family to look a certain way, my marriage to look a certain way, my health. I want to be strong and vibrant and healthy and eating organic and come on, you know, all those amazing things. I want to excel at work and make a lot of money, retire, travel the world. I got, yeah. So here we go. We're driving. We're going this way. We're going that way. We're going up hills. We're going down hills. We're rolling. So we're going, and then all of a sudden we hit a bump, and when we hit that bump, it really is difficult on my family. And so we feel a tension in the marriage, feel struggle with the kids, and so my marriage and family start falling apart. My marriage and family, yes, they're falling apart. And so I'm like, oh no, I'm going to go here and I'm going to try hard. I'm going to go home early. I'm going to take Erica out on Valentine's Day and I'm going to do everything I can, spend more time with the kids. And it's not really going well. It's still suffering, still having a difficulty. So then I'm out of control. So God, you turn around. God, help my family, help my marriage. God does a work and is healed. Yeah, that's awesome. Yeah. So we're back on the road. We're hitting the road again and we're doing good. Marriage is going good, marriage, because I got that plate spinning. We're doing well. Things are going well. And then we hit another bump. And this time, it's my job. My job took a hit. My job is suffering. My finances are suffering. My job is suffering. You're not dead yet. You're not. You're almost dead. You're not dead yet. Okay, yes, perfect, right there. So I'm going to go home early. I'm going to go to work early. I'm going to stay late. I'm going to get a second job. I'm going to try hard. Family suffering too.
Oh,
very accurate. Go ahead. Go down. Thank you. Man, my health suffers. Yeah. Oh my goodness. I am out of control, right? Because I'm trying so hard. This is what happens when we lose control. When we lose control, we act differently. Some people get into quiet, reclusive, depressive type states where they're not talking to people, they're separating themselves, they just feel heaviness and stress, and they shut down. Other people lash out, get angry, try to stir up problems and difficulty, try to fix everything, because when we have control, we have peace. When control is there, we have peace because we don't have any fear. We're not worried about anything because everything's fixed, right? When we have control. But then when we start losing that control, we start having fear and anxiousness and we struggle. And then when all this is going on and we are out of control, we say, God, please help me. I am struggling. We pray to God. We pray to God and our health gets better. Yes, thank the Lord. Our family gets better. Our job does not get better. No, you're still. And so I'm praying, God, do this. God, do this. It makes so much sense. If you'd give me that raise, God, it would be so good in your kingdom if you would just do this. Because this is what I imagine would be you doing something for me. This is the plan I have for my life. So you, God, do this. And God does not step in and change anything. And so then I lose my job. Now you're dead. The job is gone. And I am struggling and I don't know what to do. And now my faith is challenged, right? Because why didn't God help me? Where is God? He doesn't care. He doesn't like me, or he doesn't even exist. God's still right here with me. God's always with me, right? But is he? Because I don't hear him. I don't feel him. He's not doing what makes sense to me. I think this is the way it should go. This is how I imagine how my life should be. This is the dreams I had for my life. God in the Bible actually shows us a better way than this that I'm showing you right here. And Jesus is demonstrated the way we're supposed to live. So Jesus lived a flawless life, making, you know, he did everything right. He was obedient to his parents, I mean, all the way. He's declared by God to be acceptable, to be good, to be perfect. I mean, you can find no error in Jesus. He's wildly successful at work, right? He's got thousands of people that follow him. They actually want him to become king and overthrow the government. I mean, he's really successful at Jesus is really successful at everything that he's doing. And so you would think, if that's the case, and all the plates are spinning perfectly, that he would never go over a bump or have a difficult time. But Jesus himself, even being perfect and flawless, comes up against a wall that he cannot go through. He's in the Garden of Gethsemane, and he's facing his own death, an imminent danger, and not just any death, but brutal execution. His hands are going to be nailed to a cross. His feet are going to be nailed. He's going to be stabbed. He's going to be beaten. He knows all this because this is the way they execute people in his day and time. And so he's a man. He's got flesh and bones and feelings. And as a man, he knows that this is going to happen, and this is not what his body wants to happen, right? It's not. And so he demonstrates for us the answer of today. Jesus shows us what we're supposed to do. He prays to God, and this is what he prays right here. In Luke, the 22nd chapter, in the 42nd verse, he says, "Father, if you are willing, please take this cup of suffering from me. Yet I want your will to be done, not mine." That's what Jesus is saying. So if this is his suffering, he's saying, I want this to jump back up and be healthy. But it doesn't happen. But he wants that to happen. Just like we want it to happen, don't we? We want that to get back up. Jesus wanted it to get back up. Please take this cup of suffering away from me. I don't want to drink this cup. I don't want to deal with this. I don't want to go through bankruptcy. I don't want to go through divorce. I don't want to have this diagnosis. I don't want this. Take this cup from me. But you know what he says? The second part of that prayer. This is the point of today. It says, yet I want your will to be done and not mine. Everybody look up here. This is what his prayer says right here. When Jesus says, I want your will to be done, not mine, this is what happens. He says, God, you get in the driver's seat, and I'm going to be over here as co-pilot. That's what he's saying to us. Jesus is saying to each and every one of us, God cannot be your co-pilot. God needs to be your pilot. Y'all know the bumper sticker? Jesus is my co-pilot. That's great for a car. You have to drive your car. If you sit in the passenger seat, it wouldn't go anywhere, right? But when it comes to your spiritual life, get out of the driver's seat and get in the passenger seat. Let God take control of your vehicle, of your life. Amen. You guys did a great job. Thank you. You can come alive and just put those over there on piano. Thank you, guys. Of all three, y'all did the best. All right? Good job. Wholeness comes from releasing control to God. Paul, when he was in the midst of his ministry, had what he called a thorn in his flesh. We don't know exactly what it is. Scholars have talked about it quite a bit, have different theories on it, but it's not really important. It just, a difficult situation, a problem, not what he wanted, a bitter cup of suffering. Paul has this issue that he would pray for other people's thorns and they would go away. He had his own thorn, it would not go away. He said, I prayed and it didn't go away. I prayed up here in the driver's seat. I prayed and it wouldn't go away. I prayed, it wouldn't go away. He finally says, you know what God told me when I was in the middle of this prayer is that my grace is sufficient for you if the thorn never leaves. I'm going to give you the grace to live every single day. Whether you've got a thorn in your flesh or not, you're going to make it. You're going to be all right. You don't have to worry about it. You don't have to be in control of your life because I'm in control of your life. Here's probably what most of us need to do. We need to release the need for control. Because when you're in a situation like this, and I know some of you are already, where you've lost control. So you don't have control. You've lost it. What you need to do now is lose the need for control. Because the need for control is what's keeping you afraid, angry, depressed, fearful, all the negative adjectives you want to put in there. The need to control. So here is the good news of Jesus Christ is that wholeness comes when we realize that when we lose control, control is not lost. God has control. Erica and I imagined plan A. God heals Kennedy. Perfect. Everything's normal. We imagined God is that good and that powerful. I still to this day believe that could happen. I believe God's that big. We imagined God in our thinking, our mind conceived that God could give us peace even if she passes away. I believe that that can happen. I imagine that that can happen. I know that that can happen. Yet, in 16 years, neither one of those prayers has been answered. Yet, at the same time, God's still been in control every single day. And there's been another option. She could be with us. She's here. She's sitting here listening to me today. She's been so quiet today. She could be here today and in a wheelchair, not talk to you, not be able to do much, but love life. Our family's healthy and strong. Our marriage is strong. Our love for one another is strong. Our church is lovely. We have you in our life. God is present, and he didn't answer either one of our prayers. We had no idea that God was so good that he could have a plan C that was just as good as plan A or plan B. But we were so focused on A or B, we had no idea that there was even another option. And that's what I'm trying to tell you here today. Some of you have had it in your mind. This is the way it's got to be, and it hasn't been going that way. Or you say, well, maybe there's this, I'm going to give up on that, and maybe this is the way. And I'm here to tell you, it may happen like plan A, and you lose your job. In 14 and a half years of pastoring this church, I've seen so many people fired. Lose their job. Wasn't their fault. Things happened. And it seemed so difficult. And so we believe that God is in control of that situation. Plan A is he or she's going to get a new job tomorrow. It's going to be better pay, better benefits. Come on, somebody. Woo, God shows up. That happens. Absolutely. We give all the credit and glory to God for that. Sometimes it takes a while. Sometimes things have to change. But in the midst of whatever that is, that thorn in your flesh that keeps on revealing itself, God is proving himself. Look at this verse, Isaiah 64:4. For since the world began, no ear has heard, no eye has seen a God like you, who works for those who wait for him. Paul in the New Testament said it like this: no eye has seen, no ear has heard, no mind can conceive what God will do for those who love him and are called according to his purpose. No eye has seen this, no ear has heard this, no mind. Erica and I, we couldn't conceive that our life would be like this and be good. How could that be good? That doesn't make sense, right? That does not make sense. I've never seen that happen before. I've never heard of that happening before. How could that be? God has a way to make whatever situation amazing. Look what that last part of that sentence is. Who works for those who wait for him. Maybe you just need to hear that last little part of that sentence. Maybe you're in a position right now where God's just saying, hey, wait on me. I'm going to show up. It may be plan A, plan B, plan C, plan F, plan G, plan Z. I'm going to show up. Don't worry about that. You're out of control, but I'm not. I've got a better plan that's coming along the way. If you'll just hang out and wait for me, God's going to prove himself. I'm telling you, God's going to prove himself to you. Look at this verse, Isaiah 43:15. I love this passage. I am the Lord, your Holy One, Israel's creator and king. I am the Lord who opened a way through the waters, making a dry path through the sea. I called forth the mighty army of Egypt with all its chariots and horses. I drew them beneath the waves and they drowned. Their lives snuffed out like a smoldering candle wick. I love this part. But forget all that. Forget all that amazing things. It's nothing compared to what I'm going to do. For I'm about to do something new. See, I have already begun. Do you not see it? I will make a pathway through the wilderness. I will create rivers and dry wasteland. If you're here today and you feel like your life has just been that dry wasteland, hear the word of God today. This is not my word. This is not the power of positive thinking or just smile every day or set 3 goals and wake up and make your bed. No! This is God's word saying that if you wait on him, he's going to show up in your life. This is the good news of Jesus saying, I love you, I forgive you, I welcome you, and nothing is impossible for me. Even if you don't know how it's going to work out, even if it's a barrier to you, an ocean that you have to cross and you have no boat, I can part the waters. That's what God said. God said, I can part the waters for you. Don't worry about how it's going to happen. Just trust that God's going to make it happen. God's going to take care of you. He loves you. Wholeness comes in your life when you release control to God. That's where wholeness comes. Not when he fixes this or fixes that. Wholeness comes when you let go and let God. Let him be God and you just be a person. You don't have to be God. You don't have to know it all. You don't have to figure it out. Just let it go and let him be God.